Shalom to all. Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Pei, and we are starting right at the top of the Amud with a brand new Mishnah. And today's daf is sponsored Lila Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Basra Yaakov Moshe. Her neshama should have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah tells us Halikeach Peres Shayvach Mechaveroi Mafriach Brecha Rishayna. Someone who buys the peres, the produce of a shayvach of a dove coat from his friend, he has to be Mafriach the Brecha Rishayna. Let's pause over here and understand what's going on. And Brecha Rishayna means the first pair of doves that's born. So this is how it would work. Back when raising doves was quite the thing, a mother dove would lay a pair of eggs almost every month, and a male and a female would hatch from those, and these young birds would begin their own family at 2 months old. Now, when a person buys the produce of a shayvach, he's not buying the shayvach itself, the actual wooden structure with everything in it, he's just buying the produce. So he's just buying the newborn birds. And this buyer has to ensure that whatever he takes away doesn't cause the shayvach to stop functioning. Now, a mother bird needs tzeves, company, other birds to be around and make things lively. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us the first brecha, this pair of birds that's born to her, are not for the buyer, because if he takes them away, the mother's going to literally fly the coop and find a different place to lay her eggs, causing a loss for the shayvach owner, because the entire shayvach is going to cease to function. It's this first pair remaining in the shayvach that ensures that the mother will remain and the continued functioning of the shayvach. Therefore, it's only later brechais, later pairs, which the buyer can take. The Mishnah continues, pairs kaveres. If a person bought the produce of a kaveres, a beehive, that means he's buying the bees, noitel gimel nechilim umesares. He takes three nechilim and then mesares, the process could be stopped. We know that during the summer, bees reproduce in what's called nechilim, swarms, and although sometimes a single hive can produce 9 or 10 nechilim per season, when someone buys a nechilim, he's only entitled to 3, after which the owner of the hive could be mesares, he could stop the production. On to another case, chalos dvash, if a person buys the honeycomb from the beehive, miniach beis chalos, he has to leave 2 chalos dvash, meaning 2 honeycombs, and that's because, again, since he's not buying the entire hive, he's just buying the honeycomb, he has to leave enough honeycomb for the hive to continue functioning. That's these 2 chalos, which are what the bees subsist off of during the winter, so they can continue producing during the next summer. And lastly, zeisim lakutz, if he buys olive trees in order to cut them down for their wood, he has to leave 2 branches so that the tree can regenerate. So Gemara begins by asking on the first part of the Mishnah. Vatanya, we have a brass that says brecha rishayna ushnia, that when someone buys the produce of the dove coat of the shayvach, he has to leave the first and second brecha, not just the first one, as our Mishnah said. So Rav Kahana answers like Hashra's, no problem. Hala hala ima. This is talking about for her. This is talking about for her mother. What does that mean? So as we had said in the Mishnah, the mother gets the first pair born to her to keep her company. This brisa, when it says rishayna ushnia, the shni is referring to this first pair. When they have their first pair of children 2 months down the line, that stays with them as well. In other words, the mother bird gets her children to stay, and these children get their children to stay. And that's because if we don't leave company for the kids, they're going to fly the coop, leaving the mother all alone, which would then cause her to fly the coop as well. And therefore, it comes out that only pairs 2 and on from the mother and pair 2 and on from the kids belong to the buyer. So I think more asks on this. Maishna ima, why is it the mother's different? The mitstavsa abarto ve'azuga deshavkinola, that she's only considered having company with her daughter and her zuga, which is her mate, and that's what we're leaving for her. That's why the first brecha has to stay, because we want the mother to have a company. Well, ihinami, what about her herself? Meaning, what about this child, the daughter of the mother, which is staying for the mother? Titstavsa ima ve'azuga deshavkinola. Why isn't considered that she has company because she's with her mother and the mate that's left for her? In other words, why are we saying that when this first pair has their first pair, those grandkids have to be left as well, so that the original pair number 1 doesn't leave? What do you mean? The whole reason why pair number 1 is still there is to keep the original bird, the mother bird, company. And so the mother bird has her daughter and the daughter has her mother. Why are we saying that the daughter gets her daughter to stay in order to keep her company? So my answer is ima barta mitstafta. A mother with her daughter is considered to be kept company, so she has her mate and her daughter. Everything is good. She feels like the house is fine and she's not going to fly the coop. However, barta ima lo mitstafta, the daughter with her mother doesn't feel like it's company. She doesn't feel good enough. The daughter needs her daughter in order for her to feel company. And that's why the Braisa says, brecha rishayna ushnia, talking about the daughter's daughter, she has to stay with her as well. How we continue explaining the Mishnah, peres kaveres, noitel gimel nechilim umesares. So the Gemara asks, b'ma mesares son, how is it that he's mesares them? How does he stop them from having children? We have these 3 nechilim, these 3 first swarms of bees that are produced in the season are given over to the buyer, and then the owner of the hive is able to stop them from producing. How does he do this? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, b'chardol, he gives them mustard. And Amar Rav Mishmet Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Eretz Yisrael, they say the name Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, loy chardol mesares son. It's not that mustard is mesares them, which literally means castrates them. It's not like it stops them from having kids. It's not something in the mustard itself. El mitach shepian chad. It's just because now it's very sharp in their mouth. Mustard is very sharp. And if that's what the bees are eating, it's going to be very uncomfortable for them. Chazares v'chazes duvshanon. Then they go back and they eat their honey in order to offset the taste of the mustard. And them eating their honey is what's going to stop them from producing. And that's what we mean by being mesares. Rabbi Yochanan says a totally different shot. Mesares doesn't mean to stop them from producing. It means to alternate. Noitel shloisha nechilin besiros. The buyer takes three nechilins, three swarms, alternating, one for him, one for the owner, one for him, one for the owner, and one for him, one for the owner. And Masisa Tana is taught in the Braisa, and this is the final psak. Noitel gimel nechilin bezachar zeh. The buyer gets the first three in a row, 1, 2, 3, and mikan ve'elach from then on, noitel achas u'miniach achas, he takes one and then leaves one, so on and so forth. And so according to the Braisa, he doesn't just get three, he gets the first three, and then afterwards he's mesaris, he alternates, taking one, leaving one for the owner. And continuing to the next permission, we said chalos dvash miniach shtei chalos v'chulu. Then when dealing with honeycomb, he has to leave two chalos dvash so that the hive can continue functioning. Number of Kana of Kana tells us, dvash bekaveres eino yotzim b'dei machol ha'olam, honey inside a beehive never leaves its status as food. This has to do with dinei toma. We know that food has a different status when it comes to toma as opposed to mashke, drink, liquid. Michael is only able to transfer toma if it's the size of a beitzah. A mashke can transfer when they're revias. So Rav Kana is telling us that honey in a beehive is always considered food. It's always considered machal. Now the Gemara suggests, Amal Kasavar, it seems to be that he holds loy by machshava, that the honey in the beehive doesn't need machshava. We don't need the owner to have a special intention in his mind, I want this to be considered food, and only then it's officially considered food. It's always considered food. It doesn't need a special machshava. However, the Gemara asks, Mesa, we have a brass that tells us, dvash bekaveres eino loy eichav loy mashke, that honey in the beehive is not considered eichal or mashke. And that's clearly not like Rav Kahana that says, dvash bekaveres is always considered machal. So we have two answers to this. Amar Abaye says, loy tzricha el oisun shtei chalois. What the Braisa is talking about is those two chalois that our Mishnah says have to be left over. That's not considered eichal or mashke, because as we had explained, those are being left for the bees to subsist off of throughout the winter, and therefore they're not considered eichal or mashke. They're for the bees. Whereas Rav Kahana was talking about honey that will be used by people, it's not for the bees, that's always considered machal. Now Rava Amar Rava says, no, Reb Eliezer he. This Braisa says that the honey in the kaveres is not eichal or mashke, is shitas Reb Eliezer. It's a das yachid. What's Reb Eliezer? So we've had this previously in the Masechta, Peyam and Beis on the top, Nanan we have Mishnah that says, kaveres dvayrim, when talking about a beehive, Reb Eliezer and Reb Eliezer says, harehi kekarka, it's considered like karka, it's like land, it's like property. Because when a prosbol, a person could write a prosbol on it, vein makabel soma mkaima, it can't be makabel toma in its place where it is, because it's considered karka. But writing a man of Shabbos chayv chatos, and somebody who takes honey from it on Shabbos, he's chayv chatos, because like he's cutting something from the ground. Whereas Vachomer and Vachomer say, ain't kosher no prosbol, he can't write a prosbol on it, vein karka, it's not like karka, makabel soma mkaima, and it is makabel toma in the place where it is, but writing a man of Shabbos putter, and somebody who takes honey out of it on Shabbos is putter. And Omar Blazer, Blazer says, my time with Reb Eliezer, what's Reb Eliezer's reasoning? Because the pasuk says, "Vayitbol esa b'yar sadvash," and he dipped his stick in the forest of honey. And he asks, "V'chima inin yar etzal dvash?" What does a forest have to do with honey? El alam lecha, must be the pasuk's telling you, "Ma yar hatodesh menu b'shabes chayv chatos." Just like a forest, if someone detaches something from it on Shabbos, he's chayv chatos. Av dvash harodim menu b'shabes chayv chatos. So too, honey, if a person takes it out of the beehive on Shabbos, he's chayv chatos. And so we see very clearly that this brayso we quoted, that dvash in the hive is not considered oichel or mashke, is according to Reb Eliezer, because it's considered the ground. It's like karka, and we know something attached to the ground can't be oichel or mashke. And that's a second answer. However, Mesu, now we have a question. We have a rest that tells us, dvash hazami kavartoi, honey that oozed out of the kaveres, that oozed out of the hive, ain't oichel or mashke, it's not oichel or mashke. So bishlam l'abaye nicha, we understand according to Abaye, this brasa makes sense. The reason why it's not considered oichel or mashke is because we're talking about these two chalos dvash that were left inside for the bees to subsist off of, and that's why it's not considered oichel or mashke, even though it oozed from the hive, because it's not meant for people, it's meant for the bees. El Rav Akasha, according to Rav, it's problematic. According to Rav, the reason why dvash inside a hive is not eichel or mashke is because it's considered the karka, it's like the ground. But over here we're talking about honey that oozed out of the hive already, so it's not connected to the ground, if you will, so why is it not eichel or mashke? So Rav's answer is no problem. We're talking about where this honey oozed out onto a kli mos, a kli which was disgusting, and you're not going to eat it unless you have an actual machshava, okay, I want to eat it, and therefore even though it's not considered connected to the ground, it still doesn't have a din of eichel or mashke unless he thinks about it, he has machshava. Whereas Rav Chaim Yaakov Amar, he gives a slightly different answer. Kigun shezavah gabe kashkashin, it's where it flowed out onto little sticks, onto little splinters of wood, and that he's not going to gather up and eat it unless he obviously has proper machshava. And here's another answer for why it's not problematic for Rava. However, Mesa, we have another question. We have a different brass that tells us dvash bekavartoi inu loyach v'loy mashke. The honey in the beehive is not considered oichel or mashke. Chishiv olav lachila. Let's say he thought about that he wants to eat it as an oichel, as in food. Metame tomas oichelin. So now it takes on the status of tomas oichelin. Whereas lamashkin, if he thought about that he's going to use it as mashkin, metame tomas mashkin, it now takes on the status of tomas mashkin. Now bishlam l'abaye nicha. This is all good according to Abaye, who explained that the reason why it will not have a status of oichel or mashke unless he thinks about it is because we're talking about these two chalos dvash that were left for the bees to subsist off of. So therefore, it needs a special thought process in order to turn it into either oichel or mashke. El Rava kasha, but according to Rava, it's problematic because according to Rava, who had explained that the reason why it wouldn't be considered oichel or mashke is going in shitas Reb Eliezer, who holds that this is karka. Well, machshava doesn't help with karka. If something's connected to the ground, even if you think to yourself, "I want this to be oichel, I want this to be mashke," that thought doesn't help at at all, because again, it's connected to the ground. So how do we understand this braisa in light of Rava's explanation? So Amalcha Rava would tell you, Taretz Hachi, we should explain as follows, that we have to understand the braisa the exact opposite. Chishev av lachila, ain't a metame tomas eichlin. That even if he thought about that he wants us to be food, it's not metame tomas eichlin. Or lamashkin, ain't a metame tomas mashkin. Even if he thought about it for mashkin, it's not metame tomas mashkin. Again, because it's considered like it's connected to the ground. And now the Gemara concludes, Hank of us, Rav Kahana, we have a braisa just like Rav Kahana, dvash bekavarte metame tomas eichlin, shalei machshava, regular honey in a beehive, as metame tomas eichlin, even without having to think about it. And that's exactly what Rav Kahana said. And to explain the Mishnah, we had said, zeisam lakots menich shtei grufiyos, if a person bought an olive tree in order to cut it, he's using it for its wood, he has to leave at least two grufiyos, two branches, and that allows the tree to regenerate and to continue growing. And Tanarabana, we have a braisa alakech ilim chaver lakots, if a person buys a tree from his friend in order to cut it, he's using it for its wood, magbiya min akarka tefach, he has to first lift it above the ground a tefach, he's obviously not lifting the tree a tefach, it just means he leaves the tefach on the trunk, v'kaitzeitz, and then he can cut it down, and that way it's going to regenerate. Now other trees have different dinim, besuos hashikma gimel tefachim, if we're talking about a sycamore tree that was never trimmed before, so he has to leave three tefachim connected to the ground, sadan hashikma, if it was a sycamore that was already cut, based tefachim, he only has to leave two tefachim, v'kanum v'gafanim, when we're talking about reeds or grapevines, mina b'kakul mala, he has to go to the first knot in the wood, and then he's able to cut above that, b'dekolim b'arazim, with palm trees and cedar trees, chayfer m'sharesh, he's able to even dig out and take out all the roots, l'fisha ein gizan machlef, because their trunks don't regenerate, so it doesn't help to leave a little bit in and then cut it from that height above, because anyway, it's not going to regenerate, so when he buys these trees for their wood, it means basically he's buying the entire thing, and he can even completely uproot it. Another Gemara asks on one of these trees that we just mentioned, Ubisus HaShikma Gimel Tefachim B'inon, when we're talking about Ubisus HaShikma, the sycamore tree that was never trimmed before, if he bought the thing for its wood, he has to really leave three Tefachim in the trunk, and only then he's allowed to cut? Bermini, I'll ask you a steer. We have a mission that says, Ain cuts in Ubisus HaShikma B'shvias, one is now allowed to cut this Ubisus HaShikma on Shemitah, but B'nishi Avoida, because that's considered proper Avoida. We know that on Shemitah, one is now allowed to work the ground in a way that it's going to be beneficial for the thing that's growing, and if he cuts a Ubisus HaShikma on Shemitah, that's considered Avoida. It's beneficial for the tree because it's going to regenerate. Now, Rabbi Huda says, Kedarkai Asur. If he's going to cut it like regular, then it's Asur because he's causing a benefit to the tree. El or rather, if he wants to cut it on Shemitah, what does he do? Magbiya Yud Tfachim Akaitzetz. Either cuts it starting at 10 Tfachim above the ground, or he cuts it flush with the ground, meaning he cuts it literally level with the ground. And both of these scenarios, it's not good for the tree and it's not going to regenerate properly, so he's allowed to do this on Shvias. Now, what do we see from here? Me'ima Aretz, Hudakashi. That only if he cuts his Besul Shikma flush with the ground, then it's no good for it. Ha'idach Malila. But if he cuts it anything above the ground, meaning even one or two tefachim, that's going to be beneficial for it. And it's clearly not like the braisa that we just quoted, because the braisa said besuos hashikma gimel tefachim. That if a guy buys besuos hashikma from his friend, he first has to measure three tefachim above the ground and then cut it. But again, this mission that we just quoted in Misach Shvias is mashma that anything above flush with the ground is also okay. Tom Rabbi answers gimel tefachim malila. If a person leaves three tefachim of his besuos hashikma and then he cuts, that's good for it. That's beneficial for the tree. And that's what we give a plus sign, a check. It's a great thing. Whereas me'im ha'aretz, vade kashila, if he does the opposite, if he cuts it flush with the ground, that's definitely no good for it. That's a minus. That's ruining it. Whereas mikan ve'elech, from here on, meaning anywhere in between flush with the ground and three tefachim, le'makshi kashila, v'lava yul malila, it's not bad for it, but it's not good for it. It's what we would call pariv. It's neither here nor there. So therefore, gabi shvias, when we're talking about Shemitah, avdina mi vade kashila, if he wants to cut it, he has to do something which most definitely is no good for it. It's the minus sign it takes away from it, and that's because in Shemitah we have to be extra careful that he's not going to be doing anything that maybe is going to be beneficial, so therefore he has to do something which is definitely going to be no good for it, and that's why the Mishnah by Shemitah says he has to cut a mi'im ha'aretz, he has to cut a flush with the ground, which is definitely kashila. Whereas Gav Mechom Emka, when we're talking about buying a besul shikma from someone, avdina midi devade malila, he has to do something that's definitely good for it, and therefore he has to count three tefachim above the ground and only then cut it, because then the tree will most definitely regenerate in a really good and strong way, and that's what he has to do with Mechom Emka. And it's not sufficient just to cut it somewhere in between 0 and 3, because that's nishtah and nishtah her, neither here nor there. Now, continuing analyzing the braisa, we had said, b'dekolim b'arazim, chayfer m'sharesh, l'fisha ein gizan machlef, then we're talking about palm trees and cedar trees, even if he bought it just for the wood, he could still dig and uproot all the roots, because they're not gizan machlef, the trunk is not going to regenerate, it's not going to regrow. Ask the Gemara, v'er is ein gizan machlef, a cedar doesn't regenerate, but darshav chibar l'yoni, he darshins the following, ma'ilech sev, what's pshat in the pasuk, tzadik ha-tamar yifrach, a tzadik is going to be pireach, he's going to flourish and grow like a tamar, a date tree, and uke'eres balvan and yiske, he's going to grow and flourish like a cedar in Lebanon. It seems to be that we have a double lashon. Why are we talking about a tamar and an eres? Im nemar tamar, lomar nemar eres, vim nemar eres, lomar nemar tamar. Why does the pasuk have to talk about both a tamar and an eres? Just say one of them. And the answer is, ilu nemar eres, v'lo nemar tamar, if the pasuk only says said that a tzaddik is like an erez and not a tamar. Hayisiyah Amar, I would say that my erez ain't a peiros, just like a cedar tree doesn't produce fruits. Av tzaddik ain't a peiros. A tzaddik is not going to produce fruits. He's not going to have progeny, offspring that are going to be like him. He's not going to have reward and efforts for all of his tzidkis in the next world, only in this world. Lekach nemar tamar, that's why we compare a tzaddik to a tamar that does produce fruits. And vim nemar tamar v'lo nemar erez, if we only said a tzaddik is like a tamar and not an erez, hayisiyah Amar, I would say ma tamar ain't gizem machlif, just like a palm tree that if you cut it down, it's not going to regenerate. Well, av tzaddik ain't gizem machlif. So to a tzaddik, he's not going to regenerate. Namely, he's not going to have a child who's like him, or if he falls and he loses his level of tzidkis, he's not going to be able to get back up to his original state. Like Achnam or Erez, that's why the Pasuk says, don't worry, a tzaddik is just like an Erez, which does regenerate. So we clearly see from this drasha of Rav Chiya bar Elyoni that an Erez, a cedar tree, does regenerate. Gemara says, no problem. El Hachamai Eskinon, what are we talking about over here? That an Erez regenerates? Bishar Minei Arozim. It's talking about other types of cedar trees. Because Rabbi Rav Huna, Dama Rabbi Rav Huna, he tells us, Armi Bei Rav, they send the Besmesh of Rav, Yod Minei Arozim Hain, there's 10 different types of Erez trees. Shnei Mar, the Pasuk says, Etem Midbar, I'm going to place in the Midbar, Erez, Shita, Vahadas, Ve'et Shemen, Asim, Ve'goymer. And so we have other types of Erez trees, they regenerate, but a standard Erez doesn't. Now we just clarify what these are. Erez, what is this? Arza is just cedar tree. Shita in the Pasuk, what's this referring to? Tura Nisa, that's a pine tree. Hadas, what's this referring to? Asa, it's the Hadas, it's the myrtle. Eitz Shemen, what's this referring to? Afarsima, the balsam tree. Birush, what's this referring to? Birasi, boxwood. Tidhar, what's this referring to? Shaga, the fir tree, that's F-I-R, not F-U-R, as in fuzzy fir from a chinchilla, rather F-I-R, a type of tree. And Uta Asher, what's this referring to? Shervina is this type of tree. So now the Gemara just asks, Hani Zayin Hava, this is only 7 that are mentioned in the Pasuk, not 10, but we say that there's 10 types. And so Kyosar of Dimi, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, Aisifu Alayin, they added on Aloinim, Almoinim, Almoigim, these three types of trees. And Aloinim, what are these? Baitne, it's referring to elm tree. Almoinim, what's this? Blute, oak trees. And Almoigim, what's this referring to? Pay alpha and alpha on top. Kisisa, which is coral, the Rashbam explains, is a tree that grows in the sea and it's very expensive, and evidently there's some sort of erez. Now, Ikad Armi, some say that these three trees that were added on were Aroinim, Armoinim, and Almoigim. Aroinim, what's this? Are, it's the laurel tree. Armoinim is dulve, that's chestnuts. And Almoigim, what's this? Kisisa, that's coral. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with another Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.